Hello and welcome everybody to Why Should Your Team Win? It's your host, Katie, and here you guys, we're going to talk about one of the most surprising teams of this season. And surprising as in they don't stink this year. But who to talk about it with me? I have Derek, and he's here to chat me up about the Philadelphia Flyers. Please welcome back Derek. Yay.
Hey. Yeah, man, I gotta stop making predictions on this show because every time, man, they screw me over. The Jackets, the Flyers. I mean, I guess I shouldn't be upset that I was wrong, but
Okay, let
on
me
the
just ask
positive.
this real quick. Are they a bandwagon?
Nah.
No?
It'll be interesting to see how they finish out. But I mean, it's house money this year. So, I'm happy. I'm
Yeah.
excited, but I don't know. I can't help but think there's going to be a fade, but I mean, who knows? Weirder things have happened.
Well, we were supposed to have this talk a month ago. So I'm looking at my notes from December 18th. So about a month ago, and they have stayed consistent the last month-ish. They're still a
Yeah.
top team. But there have been some breaking news. Let's just talk about this Cutter Gauthier. What's his
Yeah.
name? Name?
Kata gotcha. Yeah, you got
Thoughts on that kid? How does this hurt the rebuild?
that's a weird question. I don't know. Okay,
Well,
so on the
go ahead.
go ahead.
Well, you guys
I was
got
gonna say,
Jamie Drysdale, a D-man. And who's
yeah.
he is a good player.
Yeah, so Jamie Drysdale, he is a good player. And so this is what I was gonna say was the Flyers were supposed to be bad this year. And what I was gonna say earlier was thankfully, talking about predictions, like I wasn't the only one who thought they were gonna be bad this year. This was all about, letting the kids play, letting the kids grow, seeing, who's worth keeping in this rebuild, who needs to kind of be let go and all of that good stuff. And you're right. I mean, John Tortorella's got them playing really solid hockey. And so on the one hand, if they can keep playing like this, you're flirting with the playoffs, which is never a bad thing for Philadelphia. Like, this is where we want to be. We want to be a playoff team. We want to be a contender. But at the same time, you're going to be one of those dreaded middle of the pack teams where you can't get, excuse me, you can't get the high-end early, first round draft picks that you need to restock your cupboard and really make that push to get that superstar. Getting a guy like Cutter Gauthier, especially coming off his performance at the World Juniors, where he was one of, if not the top forward in the whole tournament, like that's a guy that helps your build immensely and a guy that you want to have on your team. So losing him is, on one hand, a really big step back because the thing with prospects is you can dream on prospects. You can see what they're doing and they're nothing but hope. They haven't proven anything, but they also haven't disproven anything. So you can dream about what they might do for your team and how big an addition they might be. But at the same time, all these guys, they're not anything until they actually get to the league. So getting a guy like Jamie Drysdale, who was supposed to be a part of Anaheim's rebuild, and he's a coveted right-hand shot defenseman. He skates beautifully. Like, he is a guy any team would really like to have, and he's still young. He's still like 20, 21, something like that, even though he's been in the league for like 2 years plus. The downside for him is that he's kind of been injured a lot, and you don't quite know how that's going to go. But I mean, who knows how this really, really affects Philly,
And did
and
he
the
give a
rebuild?
reason? He just said, I don't want to play there. There's been speculation. They're like,
That's.
oh, he's a Penguins fan. He, stuff like that. I think it's, it came down to he's a centerman and he didn't think he was going to get that chance or something like that.
Who knows? And that's part of the problem.
Well, then
I
also
mean,
the announcers were like, oh, I can't wait for him. His first game in Philly is going to be brutal. And it's like, He's also 20. You know, like, let's chill.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much to parse, and it depends on your view and your take and your proximity to the situation. I mean, we've had this discussion before. You know, I keep reminding myself that fan is short for fanatic, and as much as I love the Flyers, like, I've had the fanatic beaten out of me. And so on the one hand, like you said, he's a 20-year-old kid, and he says he doesn't want to play there. Okay, that's his decision. That's his right to make that statement. Ultimately, for us as fans, it shouldn't make a difference why or why not. Like, that's his prerogative and his decision. But at the same time, the world that we live in, with information being so readily available, with fans being clued in to almost every detail of the team that comes out, whether it be from social media, podcasts, bulletin board material, whatever. We're used to having knowledge. We crave that knowledge. We want that insider knowledge. And the fact that we don't have any idea of the why, just like I mentioned, like, we get to dream on this kid's talent because there's nothing proven. Now, this is the flip side. Like, we're left with the why doesn't he want to play with us? Who wouldn't want to play with us? What do you mean you don't want to play with us? Well, is it because of this? Is it because of that? Well, screw that guy. Now we're left to try to fill in that blank because even though he's kind of spoke, he really didn't give any specifics.
Is he afraid to play for Tortorella? I'm just kidding.
You know, and that's a thing. And it well, okay, it used to be a thing. But here's the deal. Like, you could do that with any coach. Any coach is gonna have guys that they don't see eye to eye with, for whatever the reason may be, you know. So could it be the Tortorella thing? Maybe, but then at the same time, we didn't think the Tortorella experience was gonna work with this team because of all the young players. And here we are talking about them being in a playoff position. Like, who knows?
And I just want to tip my hat to Tortorella. On December 29th, he hit 1500 games
Yeah.
as a coach, eighth all time, and I think the first American coach to hit that milestone as well. So awesome for
Yeah.
that, for them.
That's huge. So, yeah. I don't
Well,
know.
and
Like I said,
then go ahead.
that I was going about to say that the one thing I have kind of been right on when it came to our preseason prediction for the Flyers is we knew they weren't going to be boring. We knew they were going to be interesting one way or the
Yeah,
other.
I think we said they were definitely going to be an improvement, but I had no idea. I feel like they're this year's New Jersey, or I maybe this year's Seattle, just in terms of, like, I thought they were going to be bottom four, bottom six. So the fact that they're sitting at number 10 right now overall and third in the division is pretty awesome. So, and then also another thing that's happened in the last month, Nolan Patrick hangs up the skates.
Well, kind of
Right?
yes and no.
Yeah,
And
okay.
so
Yeah.
that,
So that was this is from 12/20 when I wrote this. So what's the
no,
latest on
yes.
him?
So that's the thing is we don't know. So apparently there was a tweet about him joining up with an organization dealing with, sports concussions and that type of thing, which, we spoke about him being the guy to, really have experience with that, with all the issues with concussions that he's had. And the way that this press announcement was worded, it made it seem like he was retiring to join this organization and their work off the ice. And so then somebody else on Twitter like ran with it. Oh, Nolan Patrick's retiring and whatever. And then, like you said, on that date, that was the scuttlebutt. And then a couple days later comes, his reply, like, no, I'm not retiring. I'm still out, but I'm not retiring. I'm just working with these guys off the ice, but like, I'm not done. Like, don't bury me yet.
It seems like a bad game of telephone,
know.
you know,
Yes.
because yeah, I
Yes.
remember when the tweet came out, there was all this like, oh man, only 25, you know, proud of him for choosing his health, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But then like 3 days later, it got cleared up, or, you know, it was like
Yes.
straightened out.
Just a weird situation that one, but you know the...
So let me, I'm flipping back in my notes here.
Yeah, go for it. Like I said, there's not that there's not been a lot going on.
Well, like back to our prediction, we had no idea they were going to be doing this good. Your team leader in points is Travis, and how do you
Travis
say his last name?
Konecny.
Konecny,
Konecny.
yeah. And who else? Did you watch the game the other night with Winnipeg?
I did not, unfortunately, that I was running around.
Well, I just caught the highlights, like I usually do, but it was a really good game. Both teams played lights out. But the goalie, Samuel, what's his name?
Urson.
Urson,
Urson. Yeah.
he got the shutout. He shut out the top team in
Oh
the league,
wow.
Winnipeg Jets. So I think that's
Sorry,
pretty cool because
I was
Winnipeg's
in New
number one
Hampshire
right
that
now.
weekend.
New
I'm sorry, say
Hampshire.
that again.
They beat the number one team, so
Yeah.
that's promising.
That was and this has been something I've been interested in following and watching pretty much the last two seasons because Carter Hart was slash is slash still might be our top end goalie, you know, our franchise goaltender. And he has been nothing but solid. He hasn't been, you know, the lights out league leading stud like we'd hoped he would be, but he has not been as bad as we could have imagined, like when the Flyers were really down. Like he's been really good. And Samuel Ersson, from the time he was a prospect when we got him to his time with the Phantoms in the AHL to his time in the NHL, has just been really solid and at times has looked like he could push Carter Hart. And I think one of the biggest reasons that the Flyers are doing so well, as opposed to what they were last year and even the year before, is their goaltending has really kept them in games. The goaltending is what we'd hoped it would be. And we, as the Flyers, that they're in a comfortable position that most teams want to be in, where you have not just one, but two really good,
Yeah.
capable goaltenders. And that's a huge thing. So it'll be interesting to see what they do moving forward with those two guys, because you kind of almost have to think something's got to give. Because, man, I mean, you've got two really good goaltenders, and you can't make a really bad decision with either one of them the way they've been playing this year.
Yeah, that's awesome. Like right now in Colorado, we just have Georgiev and our backup Francouz, he's been out all season. So it is a little nerve-wracking. Like, yeah, Georgiev's going to the All-Stars. He's having a remarkable season, but it's also like, oh man, it could all go down the drain if, you know, he hurts the groin or, you know, something like that. And we don't have Frankie in net as backup. So I don't know. That's, yeah, you're right. Goalie tandems are really important.
So that's been huge for us. Do you have another question? Or I know you're going back through the notes. Yeah, that we were supposed to have last week before, you know, weather and illness and holidays kind of sidetracked everything.
No, I just I had a couple quotes from Flyers fans, but they're, you know, it's a month ago and maybe it's still kind of relevant, but the Eagles they have a wild card game today, right?
Yes.
Okay, because last month fans were saying, you know, it's easy to watch the Flyers because expectations are low. Birds, on the other hand, yeesh. But that
And
was a
it's
month
still
ago.
insane. No. That nothing has changed.
Yeah,
No,
okay.
nothing has changed about that quote. The Eagles fans, we are hate watching Philadelphia Eagles football right now. And like I said, the Flyers, man, you're playing with house money with them. If they lose what we were supposed to be bad, it's a rebuild. If they win, like, hey, let's keep this going, whatever. So, nope, that quote has aged beautifully.
No, and then I wanted to talk about jerseys because I know you're a jersey guy. And it was
I
funny because
am.
I looked up a jersey and now I keep getting Philadelphia ads, like on my cookies. It's like
Okay.
my cell phone thinks I'm a huge Flyers fan. It's funny.
All the research you did a month ago.
I know. But what can you tell me about what jerseys you have, your Philly jerseys?
Okay, my Flyers jerseys.
Sorry. That's right. Flyers.
No. Well, I knew what you meant. And I had to make that distinction because it was funny. I just had this discussion with a couple of my players about all the different hockey jerseys that I own. So just going Philadelphia, I have the original late 90s, early 2000s black jersey with Ron Hextall. I have also that era's white and orange, white with Hextall, orange plain. And those are the, like I said, the 90s, 2000s Legion of Doom era, Keith Primo era Flyers jerseys. I do have, when they brought back the retro whites with the name black nameplates, I just have the basic. I didn't get a nameplate on that one. I also have a Ray Emery Flyers jersey. I liked Ray Emery. And tragically, he passed. So actually, one of my last purchases was a Ray Emery Flyers jersey.
Yeah,
And
you
I think that's it. I think I only have those four, maybe five, but
No,
that's it for my Flyers jerseys.
I really, because I told you a long time ago when I was trying to figure out which team to root for, I originally was going to be a Flyers fan just because I liked the logo so much. But I love teams where the logo has been virtually unchanged in 50 years. I don't think there's been any touch-ups really that you can tell.
Not recently. I mean, if you look up the Flyers logos, there have been minor little touches. The P has kind of changed a little bit. The center color puck, I think, has changed once. And then, like, you get like your outline. But the logo, the basic logo itself, has not really changed in 20, 30 years, not including the one-off 90s third jerseys, or even the one Winter Classic where you had the gold trim. But yeah, the actual, like, when you're talking straight up home away regular jerseys, like, yeah, the logo hasn't really been changed much, which I do love. We've messed with the jerseys here and there. We've messed with the color orange in the jerseys here and there,
Yeah.
but
You
the
changed
logo
the
is the
orange,
logo.
I feel like, recently, no?
Oh, there recently they
Yeah.
changed the orange again. They went back to I think they went back to like the 90s brighter orange
Yeah. So
rather
this is,
than the old school
I like
orange.
this. This is the jersey that my phone thinks I want to buy. It's like the all black
The
with,
retro, the reverse with the black, and
yeah, with
yeah,
the orange accents. I think this one's
the neons.
sweet.
Yes.
Yeah.
But
Okay,
yeah,
so
surprisingly, for being such a huge Flyers fan, I don't own that many Flyer jerseys. I really only have like the five.
overall, your collection, how many are in your collection?
Over 60 at this point, and this
Awesome.
includes everything from, NHL, AHL, ECHL, college, international, not counting like my men's league jerseys or anything like that. Like talking like actual teams, like I've got over 60 at this point. I actually had to do the math once. I average about two hockey jerseys a year.
That's not bad. I know a guy, my friend Ian, who does my Colorado Avalanche episodes. He buys a new jersey at the start of every season. So it's kind of like a little gift for himself to get hyped
Yeah.
up. And I think that's not bad. It's not like, the hockey guy on YouTube.
Yes.
It's like
Oh,
half of his
Lord.
house.
Yeah.
He's
Like,
always wearing a
yeah.
different lid, and the lid game is pretty strong with him
Yeah, I
too.
can't do all that. A, I don't have that money. And B, like, I don't know. There's not enough jerseys that I would want to buy to have that many. But I mean, like, it's cool. I'm kind of jealous because I look at my collection and think I'm an idiot. And then seeing other people's collection, just like, no, I got a little bit of ways to go. All right, cool.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. So just going back to my old notes, I also wrote down Phil Kessel, free agent. What do you think? Maybe a flyer?
No,
No.
not a fit for us. And I say that being because, A, if Phil Kessel plays this year, he's going to play for a contender
Yeah.
because everybody wants to win the Stanley Cup. It's either that or you're going for the biggest paycheck. And at this point, if you're not coming back for the fattest paycheck, you don't, if you were coming back for the fattest paycheck, you'd be playing. You know what I mean? But I really think if you're saving your body, if you're not taking, all the hits and all the mileage, like you're saving yourself for something, I would think he'd be saving himself for a cup contender. And as much as the Flyers are in the playoff hunt right now, I really don't think we'd be a top end contender. Also, that being said, like we're in on this youth movement. If the Flyers were to sign Phil Kessel, it would only be for like this one year because nobody else wanted him. You know
Yeah.
what I mean? Like I couldn't really see it. I could see, a couple of teams making that push, but I don't think it would be a quite a fit bringing in Kessel, although it would be hysterical.
Yeah.
For pure amusement
Yeah.
and entertainment value, it would be great.
Then I also wrote down, this is just general overall NHL stuff, but I wrote Ovi's slump. Is he injured? Is he aged? Are the yellow laces not lucky anymore? But I think he's
I'll go
out.
with
I just
agent.
saw the other day, maybe it was this morning or yesterday, he's out right now. And that's rare for Ovi.
Father
So,
time comes a knocking for everybody.
yeah. I think he's been injured for a long time this season.
Yeah.
And now he's finally out. So we'll see what happens
Yeah.
to him. I
Yep.
mean, is he going to break that record? I mean, he's got 3, 4 years to do it. And it's like,
Yeah,
after, if
it's
this season's an indication, I don't want to count him out. I think there's something wrong,
no. On the one
he's dealing with something.
hand, yeah. And on the one hand, it could just be that he's been incredibly durable, and maybe it's just due that he's got some injury problems that he's got to fight through. I mean, he is at that stage where the breakdown has to happen at some point. That
Yeah.
being said, we've seen it in plenty of other sports with other athletes that, taking the time off, getting the nagging problems healed and fixed up and rested, that it's entirely possible that you can come back and turn back the clock and really still keep producing. We kept marveling at the fact that he was producing like he was for as long as he was. So you're right, like on the one hand, you don't want to count him out, but at the same time, you just kind of have to think, like, really, how much longer can you
Yeah.
keep going? And I'll give you a perfect example of that is our old buddy Sid. I mean, you look at the
Yeah.
year Crosby's having, and he's right up there with Ovi, in terms of age and mileage and usage. And like he's always been a good, consistent player.
Yeah.
But then you look at the year that he's having this year, and you hear people talk about him as a possible MVP candidate just because of what he's doing for Pittsburgh, trying to carry that team. And
Yeah.
Pittsburgh's not really a good top to bottom team. Like their depth isn't what it's typically been. And like Sid's playing, really, really, really well, even at his age. So like with those type of superstars, like, yeah, you don't want to really count them out. But man, like you just have to keep asking yourself, how long does this keep going? Are we looking at a bunch of Tom Brady's here, you know?
I think Sid's like top three in face-offs or something. Like he's still got it.
Yeah.
But Ovi, I think something's gonna come out where it's like he's been playing with a broken hip or something like ridiculous. Like,
Yeah, and he plays a more physical style. He's a bigger body than Sid. Like I said, those types of guys, you know, the physical toll that the playing takes, you know, it's amazing what they do to keep going. And to think that he's still doing all of that at his age, like, it's incredible.
So I think that's, all I got for Flyers for right now. I think you guys are going to make the playoffs, obviously. But there could be something, a terrible breakdown after the All-Star break. Who knows? I hope that doesn't happen. I think it'll be exciting to shake things up a bit.
If we squeak in, it's only been because of what we kind of talked about before, where there's always that surprise. Like some of the teams that we thought were going to be really good, you know, haven't. Like New Jersey's taken a step back. You know, the Islanders have kind of been up and down. You know, my Blue Jackets, I thought the Blue Jackets were going to be better than what they were, and they've been a dumpster fire for portions of the year. It's been weird. And like you said, the Flyers just keep plugging along, plugging along, plugging along, playing just good structured hockey like Tortorella does. And it's been fun to watch. And like I keep waiting for the bottom to fall out. But then, like you said, you look up one day and oh my God, you know, they're beating, you know, the Winnipeg Jets. Like you don't know with this team. So I hope it can continue. I would love to see us back in the playoffs just because, you know, you always hate for your team not to be in the playoffs, but man, it's like I said, interesting season to watch just to see how everything rolls.
Now speaking of Columbus, this was my note on Columbus. I just wrote Columbus Blue Jackets, where careers go to die, question mark. Because that was a headline about a month
Oh.
ago.
With Johnny Gaudreau, and Johnny's turned his game up. It hasn't helped that Laine has been injured and in and out of the lineup. Boone Jenner's been injured and out of the lineup. And another young team trying to find its way. But unlike the Flyers, and Lord knows, you know, your prediction came to fruition beautifully with Babcock flaming out before he even got to be behind the bench. What the Flyers are doing with Tortorella is what I expected Columbus to be doing, and they just never got off the ground. And the goaltending is killing them.
We did talk about a young gun last season for the Blue Jackets was Kirill Marchenko, and he's your leader in
Yeah.
points.
Yep.
And a
Still
month ago,
playing
when I
really
took these
well.
notes, he had a hat trick, and it was a sweet ass hat trick because he did one of those like between the legs. You
Yeah.
know, it's crazy the skill all these players have. Because I mean, if someone did
Yeah.
this between the legs in the 80s, it was,
Oh
I mean,
God, they get
no one did
two-hand
that.
whacked and
Or
but I mean
what?
that's it. Go ahead.
No, it was like 2 weeks ago, there was two Michigan goals in one day. I think
Oh
it
yeah.
was Zegras. Obviously, that's like his bread and
And
butter.
then was it a Bedard? Did the other one? Yeah. You've got all these kids with a ton of skill. You have a wide open game. You know, you're seeing scoring going up. You're seeing the skill level, which is what the league wanted and which is what a lot of hockey wanted. USA Hockey, Hockey Canada, you know, that they want skill. You know, they want talent. They didn't want it to be, you know, rock'em sock'em beat it up hockey anymore, because participation was declining, viewership was declining because, you know, it wasn't an entertaining game. And now you have, like you said, a lot of skill, which is on display. You still have good hits, you still have, you know, good tough teams and tough play, but you have so much skill in this league now. It's incredible. So
And each
it is fun to watch with the highlights. And like I said, it's now about your goaltending and How can you get your guys to buy into your system? I mean, we sat here and we mentioned Winnipeg a couple of times. Who in the hell had Winnipeg being the best team in the league? Who had Vancouver being like right up there with them? Like, it's amazing. So coaching and skill, man, if you can get your teams on board, I mean, it's amazing what you can do. So you're seeing a lot of good stuff this year.
I think Vancouver was a big surprise for me. And then on the flip, this was like in November. Every Edmonton fan was like in agony.
Oh, yeah.
It was dire straits for them. They fired their coach and then
That
won 10
again,
straight.
amazing what coaching does. And that's not to say that Woodcroft was a bad coach, but something just wasn't clicking, and it was wild to see. And I really like Jay Woodcroft as a coach. I've seen interviews, I've heard interviews, and really got to understand like his mentality and philosophy. And I like a lot of what he does, but yeah, like watching their trajectory with him as their coach, when he first got there up until last year's run, like you just thought, man, they're going to be, amazing this year. And again, goaltending kind of shook them down. And then for whatever reason, something just wasn't right. And now I think it's Knobloch is the coach there. And all of a sudden, like he's kind of got that ship righted a little bit. Like it's so weird with all the talent they have. And what did it take? It took a coaching change. Like it's nuts.
Well, and it was crazy to see, Connor McDavid not in the top three in scoring. He hasn't been top three in scoring all season, and that's like shocking. I haven't seen that in the past 3 years at least. So it's just, some players are having career years as well. I mean, Kucherov is killing it. MacKinnon is terrifying. And Elias Pettersson, Vancouver, like I said, is also another great team to watch right now.
Patterson's having a great year. So yeah, man, like this season is entertaining. I wish I had time to watch more of it, but even just keeping up with everything, like I said, you're watching, the highlights. I'm reading the articles and the write-ups and, following along with everything as best as I can with the podcasts and, and like I said, the storylines that are going through the season is amazing. And it's weird how stuff works year to year. Like one of my other big surprises was Carolina. Like they're still there, they're still in the hunt, but they were, speaking of terrifying, like they were a team people wanted no parts of last year. And then this
The
year
last three
it's kind of been a
years,
struggle for that, right? So like there's lots going on. It's been an amazing season to keep track of, and the beauty of it is we still have half of it left, and we have trade season to talk about, trade deadline, and because I think names that we weren't suspecting are going to move, and I don't know, this is going to be an interesting finish to the year.
Back to the Blue Jackets. What do you think Elvis Merzlikins Lincoln's is going to be hanging around, or
I have no idea what's going
do you hate
on
to see him
there. Like,
go?
I think he needed to go last year, but you weren't moving him last year because last year, A, he was terrible. B, he still has that big contract that they signed him to, which is going to make him hard to move this year. And why I say I think he needed to go last year was because if you could have moved him last year for anything, you could always count his down season as the team failing him in front of him, because the team was just terrible. So you still probably could have found a taker this year, even though he's been better, his numbers are better. His money is such that I don't think anybody's going to be really in a position to take him. And if they are, like, I struggle to see what that deal's going to look like, but I think you're right. Like, I think it would be better for them to kind of move on, which is weird because they've been riding Tarasov, and Tarasov hasn't really been that great, but they're not down on him because, he's still a young guy. And then thankfully, like, we still have some younger goaltenders even behind them that, could be pushing for a spot. So it'll be interesting how this gets handled. The big question for me, and the one that I'm really kind of watching, is what happens with our GM, Kekalainen,
Yarmo.
because I've said it before on the podcast, like I was a believer in Jarmo because I understood the market, I understood what he was dealing with, and I you could make the argument for a lot of the moves that he made, but his handling of the last 2 years and some of the moves, it's been rough. The situation with the goaltenders, do you keep Merzlikins or do you keep Korpisalo? They put their money on Merzlikins and that has backfired. The Babcock hiring backfired. When you get a chance to get a Johnny Gaudreau, you get a Johnny Gaudreau. But he had to move Oliver Bjorkstrand, who was a popular Blue Jacket, and he's Seattle's all-star this year. And like, so I don't want to say that move has backfired, but like that was a guy that nobody wanted to see go that kind of got forced out with numbers. You're building this young team, you're building this young core, but the last 2 seasons have not gone the way management or Blue Jackets fans have expected. And he's been in Columbus for so long. You kind of have to wonder when that last straw is going to hit. So I don't know, man. There's lots of questions in Columbus, good and bad. So that's what I'm watching for Columbus. I'm happy to say that my Fantilli prediction was right, that he's been a great player for us, and he jumped right in and is taking his spot as number one center. But yeah, man, I don't know what to expect with Columbus at all.
Yeah, hope I mean there's only up or down and I
They
don't
can only
know.
go up. They
Yeah.
can only go up.
Let's see, they're
So
not
we'll see.
bottom
We'll
bottom.
see.
Let's see who's the bottom bottom.
That'll be
San
San Jose.
Jose, yeah.
But, that's what they expected. That's what they wanted. That's what they knew the deal was going to be. And I think they'll be better. I don't think they've been as bad as they could have been, because Lord knows early this season, they were garbage on top of just being a bad team. No, they were a hot mess. And even they found a way to be a little more competitive. Oh, speaking of surprises, Arizona, what the hell?
Oh yes, Arizona. I think their social media guy deserves a raise because he is killing it. His trash talk is so playful.
Arizona, man, like they've been a team to watch.
Well,
And who would have
because
thought that?
they're in my division, and no matter if they're doing good or they bad or if they're doing bad, they always seem to have the Avalanche's number, which I hate. I think they broke our we had like a 16 game win streak and we lost it to the Arizona Coyotes. But
Wow.
they I don't know, I'd like to see them make a playoff. They've come
Yeah, oh no, it
close
would be a
these last couple
great
of
thing.
years. They had the team. They had Kemper. They had Kessel. They had Hall, all for a minute trying to get something going, and then that fizzled out.
I could see
Thanks,
Phil Kessel
Avalanche.
going to Arizona.
Again.
Why not?
I've
Why
heard
not?
someone say he should go to Chicago because Corey Perry's out of there, and he could be like an older veteran presence for the young guys.
If he wanted, I mean, if he wanted to be, but they kind of have Nick Foligno for that. But I mean, he could, but Arizona, like guys like players like Arizona, NHL players like the idea of Arizona, the stadium situation, the ownership situation. Okay, that not so much, but it was like when I used to live out there. And I was amazed at how big hockey is out there. And one of the guys that I was playing hockey with, I asked him, like, how is there this much hockey out here? And he goes, think about it. How many guys from the East Coast do you know? I'm like, a good amount, a few. He goes, how many guys from Chicago or Minnesota do you know? I'm like, a few. He goes, right. It's all these East Coast Northerners who are moving to Arizona for the weather, but we're all hockey fans. Like, you build rinks, we're going to find a way to play. He goes, and then they have their kids, and now their kids play, and now you've got the Coyotes, and so more kids are playing. He's like, if you look at like the lower level men's league games, it's the Arizona natives that fill up that bottom spot because they're the ones that are new to the game. Like, you have all these transplants that keep the game up. So when you look at, excuse me, Arizona State, and how the heck does Arizona State have an NCAA Division I hockey team? What's a better recruiting pitch than you're at a party school with 80 degree weather, 6 months out of the year? You can golf damn near year round and then go play hockey. It's a draw. And so many players retire to Arizona. You've got great tax benefits. Like, if they got their stadium situation right, like, Arizona would be a draw. That's always been the drawback, has been the ownership and the stadium situation. But if they got that fixed, like, Arizona could be a menace.
I think, yeah,
But I mean,
Mullet
it's
Arena
always
is
been,
like max 7,000.
It's a college arena. Fun, beautiful, but a college arena. So, we'll see if they can get their stadium right, because Arizona politics, that's a whole kettle of fish I don't want to get into. But
Well, I think Clayton Keller is the
Keller,
captain. He's
I
their captain, right?
think. Not sure.
Well, I think it was last year's All-Star game. I was explaining to my wife like who these players were, and I was like, "Oh, this is Clayton Keller. He's not really an All-Star, but he's here."
Oh, yeah.
But it's because now every team they have to have one representative, participation trophy kind of nonsense. But he is a great player, and I'm surprised he's still with the team. He could be one of those players that's like, "Get me out of here, get me on a contender."
And he didn't want to. Like, he's sticking around, and now, man, like, they're paying it off. And I really like their coach, Andre Tierney. I like him as well. He's another coach I
Logan
follow.
Cooley, one of the
Yeah.
top
Oh,
draft
yeah.
picks. And then also from Minnesota, Matt Dumba, he was with the Wild for 10 years.
Who
So he,
seems reborn out there? Yeah.
yeah, it was a bit heartbreaking for Wild fans at first. Like he was
Yeah.
their guy for any time when there's a dude on your team for 10 years, it's you form
Yeah.
attachment.
Yes.
But he's out there. I think they've added a lot of key. They're not young, they're not old, they got a good player, they got I don't know. I think they're gonna be interesting next season for sure. I think they'll get better.
Yeah. Yep.
As long
Like I
as they're doing
said, man,
better than the
this
Blues, I don't just kidding.
is.
I always got to shit on the Blues. And it's funny, I
Of
recently
course.
asked the Blues fan to be on the pod, and I'm like, don't listen to the podcast. I'm just kidding.
Of course, of course. You gotta have that rival to needle. That's what makes it fun.
But yeah, Derek, that's all I got. I just wanted to chit chat a
Awesome.
little bit, and I hope Philly makes it because then we can talk a little bit more, get that playoffs.
Oh,
Because
yeah, we'll
if the
get the
playoffs
playoff
started
talk.
today, you guys would be in. So,
Absolutely.
boom.
That's amazing, but I'll take it.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much. Appreciate
All right.
the invite.
Yeah, we'll stay in touch. Bye.
Bye.